Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, here's a question. Well, it's good to be back live, by the way. Sorry about yesterday. That was our syndication partner, Truth Radio, is in Winston-Salem, and they had some ice issues yesterday, so they were better safe than sorry. So we had to play a best-of show. And then on Wednesday, of course, was an interesting little turn of events because I was in Facebook jail. First time I was in significant Facebook jail. We'll see if that happens again. I expect that it will. I'm surprised it took me as long to get there, but I'll wear that as a badge of honor. So we punted, just so you know, if you're like, oh, man, I thought you were doing the show with Ann Graham Lotz on Wednesday. Well, I was, and then all that happened. And because she's got such an enormous following, we didn't want to cut anybody out of that. So we just punted on that. We're going to do the show this coming Wednesday with Ann Graham Lotz. So we'll be live with Ann in her office next Wednesday. Okay, coming up next week. Also on Facebook Live, also now on YouTube. So if you want to, maybe you're one of those folks that are like, forget Facebook. Okay, I understand that. And if you want to go to YouTube, you can go to the Steve Noble Show there, or you can join us on Facebook Live. Plus radio, obviously, which we praise the Lord for. So here's a question. How do you go from being a wife and a mom and a homeschooler and a kind of a normal citizen that loves the Lord, loves her family, and then all of a sudden you show up and get very involved and you're in politics and you're showing up on film and in interviews, and it's not a story that's dissimilar from mine because I was just running my house painting company and minding my own business, and it really wasn't my plan to end up where I am today, but God had another course, and so as that unfolded before me, I just took little steps of faith. And that's probably what you're about to hear from my guest today, who we've been friends for a while, and her son Michael's here today, who's also been in my classes, in my civics and ethics class. So we've been in the same circles for a while, but now you're just a crazy wacko activist. Michelle, good to see you. Thanks for being here. Michelle Morrow, great to have you. How are you?
Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Morrow. Did I say Morrow?
You said Morrow.
Isn't it interesting that I know multiple people, one whose first name is Morrow, and then your last name is Morrow?
That is interesting.
And Morrow is Ann Graham Lotz's daughter.
Is it really?
Small world, isn't it?
Wow.
Okay, you wacko.
Yeah, so I am a wacko.
I know we're going to talk about a lot of things in terms of local politics and stuff, but it wasn't that long ago that I wasn't seeing you doing all kinds of crazy stuff on Facebook, and now I see it all the time. So Right. What happened?
Well, I never thought that I liked to speak in public. I always knew I wanted to be a nurse and a mother, and I got to do those things. Really, when we were living in Colorado, we got to be a part of a Christian camping ministry out there, and I was the head nurse. My husband ran a family ministry out in the Continental Divide. And that was during the Obama years, and it was during the second Obama election that we were there, and we had no cable, we had no television. It was wonderful. There was no cell service, but all we could get was actually Rush Limbaugh, and I'd listened to him for years, so I would listen to him on the radio, and I really started thinking, you know, I have five kids, and it just started striking me that it seemed like almost every other week there was some kind of a shooting or something that was happening in the United States. And we were in a very remote area of Colorado. And so it didn't impact us the way that it would have if we were had been living in Austin, Texas.
Watching from afar.
Exactly. But I just kept thinking, what is going on? And when he was reelected, I thought to myself, where's the church? What is happening? Like, do we not see the pattern of what is happening in just the degradation of the moral code here and the, you know, displacement of the family? And I just thought, we've got to do something. And so when we moved back we actually thought that we were going to come back and work at Samaritan's Purse.
Yeah, with Franklin Graham.
Yes. And then that did not pan out. But we found ourselves without a home because we'd sold our home in Texas and had been living in Colorado in a log cabin on the Continental Divide. Not a bad life. And there are many days where we'd like to go back.
Me too. Do you have an extra shed?
I would live in a shed out there at this point. But when we moved back here, it was because my parents live close by. And so we started looking for work because my parents were getting older and they had never lived close to their grandkids. And I thought, and I had actually grown up in upstate New York and then finished high school. I moved as a sophomore to North Carolina and then went to UNC, and that's where I got my nursing degree. And so when we came back, it felt like coming home, and the kids were very disappointed about having to leave the camp because the camp had closed. And so this felt at least like somewhere that they were familiar with. We were a part of Colonial Baptist. We had come here every time we would come and visit. So they got involved in sports and things. And I just started realizing that, and actually part of it was going, I always hated history. Growing up, it was just dates and war, you know, wars. And I was like, can't I just read this in a book when I need to know it?
Which surprises me, by the way. Let me just chime in here for a second. It surprises me because you're obviously a student of a lot of things now.
Yes.
The point being, even if this stuff wasn't on your radar screen growing up, I didn't like history, blah, 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 blah. That can change.
It did change because, and you know what I always say? I always say that homeschool redeemed my education because I was teaching my kids history and reading stories of people that had lived at those times. And all of a sudden it became alive. And I started realizing, man, like, we're repeating these things.
Yeah,
and I
right.
think, and honestly, when Michael was in your class, it was 5 years ago, I think, I was actually in a co-op with a modern history. We were teaching modern history to our younger kids, and he was taking your Constitution class. And I started going, man, look at how all of this just comes together.
Yeah,
and then
hello.
I just started being, and then I got really active in 2015 during the, when President Trump announced, because I was like, guys, we have to understand, like, this is not against left and right. This is a spiritual divide.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I started recognizing, you know, we had done church planting. We were missionaries in Mexico for 4 years, and my first three kids were born there.
Wow.
And so I had that perspective, too. And when everything was happening with the borders, I started making videos because I thought the church just doesn't know. Like, they're just not educated.
Yeah, yeah.
We have surrounded ourselves just by people that think like us, and we're kind of to the point that we're like, ooh, we're just going to get raptured, you know, and so we're all good.
Yeah, I call that abandonment theology. That's that, and I was the same way. I mean, I was, I started listening to Rush Limbaugh probably in 1992 or so, and then we got saved in 94. And then when we moved here in 97, I started my own business. So we're like, hey, I can't stand the government.
Right.
So I'm gonna be self-employed. We're going to homeschool so we're not in the public school system.
Right.
I know the end of the book. In the end, we win, all that kind of stuff. And in the meantime, I'm just going to sit here on the sidelines and kind of watch it all swirl down the toilet because I know eventually it will. And
right.
so why should I worry about it? Why am I going to polish brass on a sinking ship?
Right, right. And my point of view was, I feel like if the people who fear God and believe the Bible to
yeah.
be true, and we know where we're going, if we aren't the ones who are making the laws and executing
right.
the laws and judging them,
right.
why are we surprised?
And if we're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, we've got 340 million neighbors, roughly, in this country, and in a country like ours, a representative republic, as much as it still is. The laws affect pretty much all our neighbors. So if they're affecting your neighbors and you say you love your neighbor, what are you doing if you're not getting involved? This is Steve Noble, Michelle Morrow. We'll be right back. Facebook Live, we're on YouTube Live, so that's cool. We got everything working again. And the monkey flipped the switch, that being me. So it's great to be back. Michelle Morrow is a wife and a mom and a crazy Christian homeschooling type, so I can relate to that. And also now very much an activist. So Michelle and I have known each other for years through the homeschooling community, and her son has been in my classes. And then it was, I knew you were just a homeschool mom and a nurse doing stuff. And the next
right.
thing you know, I see you getting involved with all kinds of things, and both locally and on a national level.
Mm-hmm.
And you were kind of sharing that story that you were just started paying attention and what's going on here, and the church isn't informed. But in terms of getting into the political realm, and you guys eventually moved here back to Raleigh, what was kind of the first thing that kind of put you over the edge and now you're going to take even more action? Instead of studying and reading and getting prepared yourself, then it's a big change to then kind of move into the public realm.
Well, I think it was really the 2016 election because
that's me. Go ahead.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I was looking at Hillary Clinton and knowing the evil that she stands for,
yeah.
and recognizing that the church was responding in a really strange way, in that it was saying, you know, criticizing President Trump or whoever it was. And honestly, during the whole when there were 17 people running, I was a huge Ted Cruz fan.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I was like, I've read his book. You know, I mean, he totally knows the Constitution.
Yeah, I sat down with him a couple of times. Yeah. I had 2 1-hour interviews with him. I was a huge Ted Cruz
and
fan.
And I honestly thought that President Trump was a plant. I thought that potentially the left was putting him up to running in order to kind of divide things and make it chaotic.
Makes sense.
And then when he came up with his 120-day plan of what he was going to do in the first 120 days, I was like, okay, I totally get on board with that. And at that point, he was the candidate, and I knew Hillary Clinton, and I'd known the history of, you know, I mean, the first thing that she and Bill did when they got in office is fight for abortions,
right? Yep.
And their intention was not just to have it here in the United States.
Sure.
It was have it to around the globe for us not only to pay for other people here, but throughout the world.
That's
and
right.
I thought, if the church cannot see that that is absolutely the devil's scheme, and I've told my kids that Satan is always out to destroy human life because we are offensive to him because we're made in God's image.
We're the crown jewel.
Exactly. And we are the one that Satan defeated him to save. I mean, that Jesus defeated Satan to save us. And so I'm like, if you look at everything, even in climate change, even in don't have big families, even in the LGBTQRXYZ, I said the only reason I think that the left is supporting that is because it does not result in more human beings.
Right.
They want to depopulate us. And I started saying, you know, if Jesus takes 100 years to come back, what are we doing in the meantime?
Yeah, like
we can't just sit around because now it's our kids and it's our grandkids. And with the educational system and you know, I'm like, this is like socialism 101 is what they're teaching.
You go back all the way to the disciples right after Jesus's ascension, and they would have been happy to stay in the upper room and just pray. And let's just pray the gospel into the world. And of course, that wasn't going to be the deal. And so God brought persecution there to send them out, that while you're here, you have a responsibility to the here and the now. Listen, I moan and I groan about the here and the now. I long for the there and the then, and we live in the tension in between. That's just the deal. But if you're going to love your neighbors, which I mentioned earlier, then you can't just sit idly by. If everything's fine in Michelle's house and in Michelle's family and Michelle's church, and everything's fine there, but everything's burning outside of there, especially when the image of God is being marred as it is, then if you love God, this is Jesus encapsulated the entire law with a very quick answer. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the commandments rest on these two things.
Right.
And so I have to engage because I actually do care about my neighbor. Whether my kids are in public school or not is irrelevant.
That's right.
Other people's kids are.
That's exactly right.
So we engage.
And the other thing was, I said, I've told my kids from day one, before you were ever born, God already designed good works for you to do.
That's right.
Good kingdom works for you to do. And what you need to do is figure out what is your bent? Like, what are you passionate about?
That's right.
And then follow that. And I believe that we're in the situation that we're in right now because the church has given over the care of the widow and the poor and the orphan and the immigrants to the government.
Right.
So then the question is, so the church gives it over to the government and then says, don't have anything to do with the government. And you're like, well, okay, well, I mean, unless you're going to be the arms and feet and the voice piece of Jesus Christ, you are not following the Great Commission.
Well, when you're going to hire, if you hire a child molester to watch your kids, don't be surprised when the child molester molests your kids.
That's exactly right.
You have to pay attention. You have to get involved. So how did you deal with the whole Trump thing at first? Because obviously you became a big Trump supporter. But obviously there's a tension there for us as followers of Christ in some of the ways he communicates and some of the ways he treats people in his own past and stuff like that. How did you deal with that? And then I'm going to get more current and talk about what's going on
now. Well, the way that I dealt with it was I felt like we need people to speak truth. And whether he spoke it with a little bit too much salt or a little bit too much of offensive language, there was a purpose to his tweets. And his tweets were to override all of the media because he had no other platform. And so when I looked at that and I kept telling people, would you ever, if someone came to your church and they were asking, you know, to befriend you, would you just go, no? You've done this and you've done that. And that's what we were doing with the president of the United States.
Yeah,
we were basically saying we are not going to support you because you've been married 3 times and because you talk, you know, crass. And I'm thinking to myself, but you just had smooth talkers for how many decades, right. And they've ruined the and they're ruining
right.
the culture in the entire
us?
Nation.
Yeah, that's right.
And I thought to myself, and partly I grew up north, and you knew who your friends were, and you knew who your enemies were. And I remember moving down here, honestly, to North Carolina and being like, this is really weird because everybody is so friendly, but you just don't know, yeah. you know. And so, and I
that
did.
Michelle, she's really out there, bless her heart. You know, and then we could be just ripping into each other. But yeah, with Trump, and you used the word devil earlier talking about Hillary Clinton. For me at the time, it was, okay, there's the devil I know really well.
Yep.
And then there's the devil I don't know very well at all.
Right.
But I like what he's saying, and I like what he's promising. So to me, there was really no question. And so the Never Trumpers, I'm like, what are we supposed to be? We can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And when I walked into that voting booth in November of 2016 and voted for Donald Trump at the time, candidate Trump, God knew that I was not endorsing everything about Donald
That's
Trump.
Right.
I was endorsing and voting for what I hoped would be good for the country based on the truth of God's word. And I don't answer to anybody else. You can't judge me because I'm in Christ. And so I didn't worry about that. But there's so many Christians that were like, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I can't give him my vote. You know, you do both. I say this on the air all the time. And you operate the same way, Michelle. Is we're called as followers of Christ to speak the truth. We call balls and strikes. And it really doesn't matter to me who's at the plate.
Right.
If I'm at the plate and it's a strike, I call a strike. If it's you, I love you. You're my sister in Christ. I love your family. But if you say something I think is contrary to the word, I'm going to say something
right.
about it. And so our allegiance is to the truth. And so most of the vitriol I've gotten online has been when I go negative on Trump. And then people are like, you're not even a conservative. I'm like, you don't even know me. But you can walk and chew gum at the same
right.
time.
Right. And by the same token, I say, you know, what we don't know anything about our school board members,
That's
our
right.
city councilmen, our county commissioners, our mayors, our sheriff. And yeah. now, and those people impact our everyday life.
Right. So we're going to talk about that because I've seen you focus more. I've been talking earlier on the show, and I mentioned it earlier, about shrinking our America. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we're talking to Michelle Morrow. We're going to talk about getting engaged where you live, whether that's here in the Triangle, down in Charlotte, Winston-Salem, up in Iowa, wherever you are. Make your America smaller. Get engaged where you're at, where God has already planted you. We'll talk about that. Also now live on YouTube. If you prefer that, you can go to the YouTube page. That's just the Steve Noble Show. I got a coffee cup with my name on it, and I have to say my name on the show all the time. It just gets annoying. Anyway, here today with a good friend and a fellow follower of Christ, Michelle Morrow, and she, a nurse, a wife, a mom, very involved in the homeschool community, but also now very involved in fighting for the condition of our nation, not just at the federal level on elections and Trump and. And you've been to, I said this earlier to you, Michelle, that I was like wondering if you were a member of the Secret Service, because every time I saw Trump anywhere near North Carolina, you were there.
That's right.
And then, you know, national things and up on the mall and all kinds of stuff. But I think one of the challenges that's a big part of the fight. I don't mm-hmm. think you can deny that. But there's a whole lot more happening a lot mm-hmm. closer to home. Mm-hmm. And I think we all talk about, like, we all know what Ted Cruz did over the weekend.
Yeah.
But do you know anything about your own school board?
We're just jealous we didn't go with him.
No kidding. but we don't know much about what's going on locally.
Right.
And that's where we can have a much bigger
right.
impact. And there's a lot happening. So talk about that and getting involved here locally.
Okay. And I think right now is the perfect time. You know, Wake County has just superseded Mecklenburg. We're now the largest county in North Carolina.
Wow.
And I said, you know, the way that Wake County goes is going to be the way that North Carolina goes.
That's right.
In North Carolina is at the head. It's one of the swing states. So mm-hmm. the way that North Carolina goes has the potential for where the country goes. And so what we're doing here is really important. And I think right now, one of the things that I was trying to get out with people is, you know, there's been a lot of talk. Everybody's frustrated with the Republicans that haven't stood up. And, you know, we know all those people by name. But we cannot have three parties. Like, the Democrats will win every time.
Yeah.
Because they will vote for the, you know, masochistic, you know, pedophilia,
and
whatever
me,
person.
Yeah. And I wish we could do that. I
yes.
mean, Trump's going to, he's got some big decisions to make, because if he decides to do a Patriot Party or something, he'll immediately split the Republican Party pretty much, probably more in half.
Well, and I don't believe he's going to. He came out and said he isn't going
yeah,
to.
Yeah, he's
going to
help
but
Republicans.
But here was my take on it. I say I am a Christian, I'm a conservative, then I'm a patriot, and then I'm a Republican. But right now, the Republican Party has the patriot platform.
Yeah.
We haven't been dealing with it well.
Right, right.
But if you were going to go to somebody that's starting the patriot, you know, platform, you'd say, what are you going to stand for? And everything that they stand for, pro-life, less government, you know, law and order,
yeah.
school choice, you know.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
Our
so
problem
why
is
would
with
you,
leadership.
That's exactly right. And what I'm saying is people don't understand that the county leadership, even within the GOP, are the ones who are helping to get the word out, helping to get these local people elected. And so we have an opportunity to go yeah. and to vote for who our leadership is going to be. But really, nobody knows what's happening. Like right now, so there's already been five precinct meetings that have happened. And so the way that it happens is there's a precinct meeting, which think of that as your neighborhood.
And by the way, let me just interject, because there's people listening to us that don't live in the Triangle area, don't
right,
live in Wake
right.
County. But when we're talking about precinct meetings and local politics, this applies to every single county in the nation, okay? Not just North Carolina, but all over the country. So what Michelle's talking about, which may sound, if we're talking about Wake County and stuff, that might sound foreign to you, but it's the exact same situation in your county. And
right.
so what we're talking about and ways to get involved here apply all over the place.
Right. And my point is, if what we need to do, what I believe the Republican Party, why do they exist? They exist to get conservatives elected.
Right, exactly.
So if we are losing, which we have here, been losing and losing and losing, and people don't realize the whole plan of the Democratic Party, which they've been very successful mm-hmm. at, is getting governors and judges elected. If
yep.
you look at five of the seven swing states that were all up in arms over the voter fraud, five of them have General Assembly majorities are Republicans, and their hands were totally tied behind their backs.
Yeah.
They are smart at what they're doing. So we need to be strategic. I said, I feel like the Republican Party just responds. We need a strategy.
That's
we
a
need
point.
To come up with moving forward and let them come and
yeah,
have
way,
to deal with us.
Way too much defense.
That's exactly right.
And we need to be on offense.
Yes. And in Wake County, I think it's 44 seats are actually up in the 2021 elections. And we're talking mayors. And this is across the country. Usually the odd numbered years
yeah.
are the local elections.
You get all the municipalities.
That's right.
Stuff.
And then in the even years, it's things that are more statewide and federal. And so, but you can make a really big impact in doing city council and county commissioners and mayors and,
yeah.
and finding good people who are God-fearing people who want us to remain a constitutional republic and who want law and order
yeah.
and who want our children to not be indoctrinated by socialist ideals and hatred for the United States. And, you
and
know,
each other now.
And
that's
each other.
That's what we're
exactly
getting from
right.
critical
and
race theory.
Exactly.
Is that where everybody gets put in a silo, and then we foster covetousness.
That's right.
We foster hatred. We
yes.
foster. They want to talk about the coexist bumper sticker, but that's not what they're about. They're
no.
not about coexistence. They're about dominance. And if you sit there and do nothing, just like good old Edmund Burke said, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing.
That's right.
Then that's the deal. And darkness will always proceed in the absence of light. And
that's
so
right.
if you don't show up, you get exactly what you're not paying for.
And I say the same thing about when things are so dark. I give this example, if anybody's ever gone to like a cavern you
yeah.
know, and they turn out all the lights and you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And yet, if you just have a match,
yeah.
it lights the entire
Everything.
Cavern. And so I'm thinking.
All right, hold on a second. Now, let me ask you this question, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at home in the middle of the day and you go over and you're going to open a closet door, and inside uh-huh. the closet, it's dark. When you open the closet door, doesn't all the darkness spill out into
yeah.
the room?
Mm-hmm. No, it's the light goes
the
in.
The light
goes
oh, okay.
into the
light
closet.
Always overpowers darkness. Okay,
that's right.
Just checking my
yes.
theology to make sure.
But my
okay.
stuff falls out on me.
right,
open
there's
my
that too.
Closet.
Yeah, that's another issue. That's another issue.
And that's my thing is we have the hope that the world needs. And I was, you know, I've been very active. And I think that the way that I saw President Trump, if you go back to his inaugural address, he very clearly said, I am here to take the power away from Washington, D.C. and to
yeah.
put it back into the hands of the people. But just what you said earlier, we cannot be a nation of the people by the people and for the people if we only vote once
that's
a
right,
year.
Right. And, if that's and, all you ever do, that's not enough.
And
not
we're seeing
situation.
That, right?
And we don't even pray, by the way, on that.
Exactly. And the other thing is, and I feel like it, as the GOP, what needs to happen is we need to take this enthusiasm and this unity and this excitement and this reformed patriotism and fight for right.
Yeah.
That happened at all of the rallies. And we need to bring it into the party and make it be a place where people, if you're passionate about the Second Amendment, there are groups that are already doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Go reach out with them. And then we all come together when it comes time to, you know, elect somebody. But in the interim, work at, you know, go to Love Life and do things that are, you know, praying for
sure.
families at abortion clinics. If your passion is education, go to the school board meetings, you know, and speak up and get other people to go with you. Make it be something that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always have to be, and which is what a Trump rally was. It was like a 4th of July celebration with
right,
no alcohol, right?
Right, yeah.
And you met people from across the state that you never would have met.
That's right.
And I feel like...
Well, it reinvigorates our understanding of what it means to be an American. Because if you,
yes.
you don't have to go back that far. 9/11 was the perfect example. We get hit by Islamic fundamentalists on 9/11. And for about 3 months,
right.
this was one nation pretty much under God.
That's right.
Which showed you that it's still there. One of the things you mentioned, Rush Limbaugh, earlier in this week, obviously we're mourning his passing. And I praise the Lord that he made a profession of faith in Jesus
yes.
Christ as his Lord and Savior. A personal relationship. You don't. Most people don't say that. But he had this optimism,
yes.
and I struggle to have an optimistic opinion about yeah. America. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this her best days are definitely behind her. Forget
right.
it. This is all going down the tubes. But that's easy to say because it gets us off the hook that we don't have to do anything.
Right.
It's just a foregone conclusion.
Or it's like we're hoping that it's the tribulation and we're all going
right.
to get raptured.
Like you said earlier, yeah, like, yeah, oh, get me out of here.
That's exactly right.
Right. That's a Christian attitude.
Right. And
get me out of here.
And I think one of the other things is... you know, my husband and I watched a short documentary, and it was called After Hitler.
Mm.
And it was showing what all of Europe was like. It was in ruins. It was just in rubble. And I had no idea that Jews and Germans were being kicked out of these other European nations after the war was over
wow.
because they suspected that they were spies or doing whatever. And they were shooting them on the side of the road.
Jeez.
I mean, but you looked at that, and I looked at the pictures of that. That was at the middle of 1940. And everything was in ruins. And my husband went with his father on a trip to Europe, but 30 years later. And there was no evidence all of Europe, the entire continent had been, you could never
right.
know.
Yeah,
and I'm
you'd
saying
never know.
So much can happen. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't have to be saying that, oh, because it's so bad right now, it's never going to get
yeah,
better.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be true. I mean, it may be true. It may be that God's going to let
it may
just,
be.
Yeah, but.
But apathy is not an option
that's
for
exactly
us.
Right.
And you're going to be held accountable for your faithfulness. That's the beautiful thing about this job description of being a follower of Christ. I'm like, okay, hey, Dad, let me see if I got this right. You want me to be faithful in all things and try to make a difference for your glory through your kingdom and the power of the Holy Spirit with your truth. But the results of all that actually aren't my responsibility. Faithfulness is my responsibility,
right.
and fruitfulness is your deal.
Right.
And then through the power of your son's blood, I'm forgiven, and then I get eternal rewards for this deal? Is that what you're telling me?
It's a win-win.
Yeah, Steve, that's what I'm telling you. Wow, okay, cool. So faithfulness is the deal. So you really don't have an out. If you're a Christian and you're supposed to love God and love your neighbor, you get involved. If you don't get involved, that's a violation of neighbor love, which is a violation of God love, and that is a huge problem. We're talking to Michelle Morrow. One more segment, a great activist and a follower of Christ and a friend of the show. We'll be right back. Sooner or later, you go, okay, I can't just sit here and do nothing. And we were just talking during the break, and we'll talk about this now. that there's more than enough avenues out there for you to engage and to engage in something that you're passionate about, where
right.
you don't have to try to stick a square peg into a round hole. Because when you do that, both things get damaged. But you do, you were talking about this, Michelle, you do have to just go out and try different things.
Right.
And something might seem of interest to you, and you go to a precinct meeting, you go to Love Life, you go stand in front of an abortion clinic, whatever it is. And if it doesn't really get you charged up, okay, try something else.
Right.
But you said, once you kind of find that stream, and by the way, those seasons can come and go, you'll meet people there that are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
What an incredible blessing that
right.
is.
Right. And like I was saying to you, I think we all crave community. We all crave to be known. And when you are with people who are like-minded, that forms deep friendships. I have met so many wonderful people in the last year in being active and trying to open up, you know, North Carolina and trying to get the masks off our faces and trying to get our schools open and trying to get our nursing homes opened, because it's the heart of compassion that draws you to different things. And I often tell people, what was it that brought you here today?
Yeah.
You know, like, what was that final
straw?
Because that might be the thing that God said, I made you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it might just be, for, like you said, for this season.
Yeah.
But he's given us all giftings and talents, and he is the one that draws us towards something. And I love the story of Moses, because Moses, you know, he was hiding out in the desert because he murdered somebody. He's hoping everybody's going to forget about him. And God shows up in the burning bush and says, hey, by the way, I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people out. And he's like, I don't think I'm your God.
Yeah, but do. I'm not even a good speaker.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and he's got all the reasons why he doesn't. But what's fascinating about that story is, as soon as Moses goes to Jethro and says, I'm going to Egypt, God says to him, psst, the guy that wanted you dead, he's gone.
Yeah.
He knew the real reason why Moses did not want to go back. It was fear.
Yeah,
he didn't want to go back. And so, but I feel like it's that step of obedience that you need to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And then God fills in the gaps. You know, he doesn't tell us what it's going to be beforehand. He just says, I'm with you.
Right.
I'm never going to leave you. And do you trust me? Do you trust me?
That's
I mean, look at Abraham with Isaac.
Oh, he puts the lily pad out
That's
in front
exactly.
of you. You step on it, and he might stay on that one for a while. You have to move to another one, but he's always going to be with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. And that's the thing to remember, that he's, even if you mess it up, he's on the other side of that.
That's right.
He's with you. So it's just a matter of, am I going to act in obedience, which is really love to the Lord, to act in obedience. And then it's amazing. And listen, there's things that talk about Moses. We can talk about David. We can talk about Abraham. We can talk about New Testament people. We can talk about the disciples. There's what they can do, and then there's only what they can do with God.
Right.
It's God's never going to do what we can do on our own.
That's right.
So you don't really understand, and you don't experience the full power of the Holy Spirit until you get yourself in a situation where you're like, I can't do this.
Right.
And God's like, yeah. Don't worry about it, because
you
already know that I can. But you got to stretch yourself. You just got to show up. And
That's
when you put your yes on the table, which is exactly what I did after a church service on a Sunday in March of 2004, and I literally wrote on the response card to be more outspoken for God's truth in the public arena. Literally, word for word, that's what I wrote. I had never done anything publicly before, and put that on the altar. And literally within 3 or 4 weeks, Michelle, me and a friend of mine led a group of about 350 Christians into a Raleigh City Council meeting. And we lost, but that's the day Call to Action was born.
That's right.
Which was in April of 2004. Radio started in September of 2007. And here I am today. It was just one little thing.
Right.
And then one little thing. And then what God does with that, I'm not saying you end up doing something like Michelle does or what I do. God didn't create you to be Michelle or to be me.
Right.
He's got things to do with you that he can only do with you. He can't do with me.
Yes.
So you have a calling.
And I think I tell people all the time, God never used people who the world says, that's the perfect person for that,
right?
I mean, he always picked the people
who knew
that he was God and that they are not.
That's
and I think that's the most important thing, is recognizing our limitation, but also our dependence on him, but recognizing he chooses to use us. He doesn't need us, Steve.
Amen.
Like he could make everybody right now bend their knee to
absolutely.
Jesus Christ,
yep.
and he could heal all the diseases, and he could, you know, keep poverty out, and he could, you know, sweep communism off of our shores. But he chooses to let us be a part of
that's
the
right.
process, and
yeah.
it blesses us
oh,
when
absolutely.
We see him moving,
oh,
right?
Yep, that's right.
So
it's a huge blessing and very humbling, and again, until you're kind of getting out of your comfort zone and getting out of our little church bubble, there's a whole part of the Christian life that you aren't unlocking until you step out of faith. And it might just be, hey, I'm going to host some kids and do a homeschool class. Whatever.
Right.
I'm not telling you it has to be politics.
Right.
But it has to be something outside the four walls of the church that you're sowing into the body. as well as trying to reach the lost. So let's talk. We've got about 6 minutes left. Okay. What are your plans locally? What are you trying to do yourself locally?
Well, we've been getting a group together to do leadership here in Wake GOP. I have a vision. I've said, you know, the GOP stands for the Grand Old Party. I want it to become the Gathering of Patriots.
Oh, good.
And I think it's time for us to start using the people. There's so many people that have followed their passions, and they have these grassroots organizations, but they have no umbrella in which to meet. Everybody's doing everything, you know, on a different day at a different level. I'm like, there needs to be somewhere that we meet together and that we can kind of like you go to church, right? And
yeah.
You get emboldened to go into the world during the week, and then you come back together, you know, with the soldiers, and you kind of get your marching orders again. Well, I think that needs to be what happens at that GOP level in every state. We need to tap into the people who are already, you know, fighting for the Second
yeah.
Amendment and the First Amendment and schools to open and healthcare to not have the government manipulate. There's already people that know what we need and what we need to. They just need army of soldiers
yeah.
to
need more
do
people
it with
to
them.
Get involved.
Exactly.
And right now, all that energy, which is mostly frustrated energy.
That's right.
You need to capitalize on that.
Yes.
And now, I would imagine, because part of politics is people that have been in it for a while.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell my students all the time. Listen, if at 18 or 16 or 20, you show up at a precinct meeting, you might have four or five people collapse with a heart attack.
You might, because most of them are over 75.
they do not see young people, because you generally don't give a rip about society around you until later in life. But the younger you are, and I tell them, you're going to have all kinds of opportunities
yes.
to move quickly.
Yes.
Because if you're willing to work, and especially if you're younger, you're a little outside the box, they're going to love the fact that
they
you're
love
there.
It. Yeah.
And if you work, you can work your way up through that system, and you'd be surprised how soon you can actually be an impact player.
Well, and you'll be surprised, too, that we need your perspective. Like
yeah.
I've said
Amen.
From day one, I think the hardest place to be a Christian in the world today is on the university campuses.
That's for
and,
sure.
And we would have meetings at NC State, and there wouldn't be anybody under 50. And I'm like, there's students right out there who are conservatives and who are struggling every
yeah.
day with their peers, with their professors, yeah. and feeling like they're totally alone. Why aren't we serving them? Why aren't we welcoming them? Why aren't we going out and saying, you're not alone? You know, we believe like you do. Come and let us mentor you. There's mentoring in the church, but there's also mentoring in terms of business.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you know
Absolutely.
That you're going to meet in there? You know, if you want to be whatever you want to be, I can be an intern and I can do what you're doing. That's the community caring for itself. And I feel like, if the church isn't going to be that, why not make the GOP that? Because the platform of the Republican Party is the platform of everything that God stands for. And so why reinvent the wheel,
yeah.
right? Why not, if we're giving all the money over to the government, why not work within the confines of the government and share the gospel with people while you're at it?
Hello. Yeah. Well, there was I shared this on Facebook earlier, and somebody put this up, that they were walking around the government complex downtown Raleigh today. I think it was today. It might have been yesterday. I think it was today. And these four or five kids approached her
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're in high school. So she's like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen here? And they were actually from a local Christian school. And they just told her, we're down here praying with as many people as we can.
Yeah.
How can we pray for you? And she told them, and they stopped and prayed for her right there. And she took a picture of them as they're walking away, because she's like, I got to take a picture because I don't know that they were actually real.
That's right.
And so they go, OK, there you go. Just get
That's
out
right.
there and ask people, like you said earlier, just showing up at Trump rallies and whatever. You'll have a chance to really be a gospel ambassador. But precinct meetings and stuff, how often does that happen? What's the first step that most people, they say, OK, I want to get in.
Yep.
I don't know what I want to do, but I at least want to try.
First step is go to whatever your county is. Here we're in Wake, so it's wakegop.org, and find out what precinct you're even in. There's all these names, precincts and districts. And,
yeah.
and right now, Raleigh, Zebulon, Wendell, and Knightdale all have their meetings coming up. And what's happening at these first meetings is you become a delegate, which means that you are allowed to vote in a month on March 25th
yeah,
for the leadership
deal.
At the county level. But if you didn't go to that precinct meeting, if you didn't sign up to be the delegate, you can't vote. So see, when we're wanting to change things from the very lowest level,
yeah.
you have to get in on
show
day
up,
one.
Right?
Exactly. And so for people to go there, or if you can't find that, libertyfirstgrassroots.com also has all of the listings. Figure out where you are and go and meet people, and you'll probably be surprised. Because if you go to that meeting, you're probably going to meet people that you know on Facebook,
yeah.
And, you know, that you're friends with, because you're all kind of on the same journey. And at that point, too, you know, meet people and bring friends along and make it be an evening out, right? I mean, there's nothing else happening right now that we can participate
close.
In. But then you have the county. At the county convention, you become a delegate. for the district convention. And wow. The districts are broken down into who is our congresspeople. That's how the districts are divided up. And then at the district convention, you become a delegate to become at the state convention because there's leadership all the way up. But at the same time, we might find people who are able to run in these elections in November. And maybe that's you. Maybe God puts it on your heart that you want to be
a part
of the
solution. When's it going to be you,
Michelle? I don't know.
I think it will be.
It will
Don't you think it will be one of these days?
Absolutely, yes. And I'll come on when I announce that.
And by the way, absolutely, open door, mi casa, su casa. So I just,
gracias.
In the span of about 30 seconds on the Facebook Live page, I just put a link up to the Wake County GOP. I put a link up to the Mecklenburg, which is down in Charlotte. And I put a link up to Forsyth, which is over near Winston-Salem. So that's three major markets that we're in. And now you've got knowledge, so now you have responsibility. Say, okay, I need to do something. That's where you start. Just go to one of those websites, show up at a meeting, and get involved because apathy simply is not an option. Michelle, so great to have you on. Let's definitely do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.